Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to Wednesday night. We are back to talk about The 100 Season 4 Episode 7, Gimme Shelter. Why didn't we start on Gimme Shelter? I just realized that. Crazy. We're back here to talk about the episode. I'm so excited. I'm here with Alexis Torres. We're going to break it down on AfterBuzz. We'll see you guys in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I just like this part. Yeah. Happened when they were trying to like get ready. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a pretty sad thing.
It's a sad song, yeah. but it made sense for what was happening in the episode. So.
It's a good song.
I like the piano.
Yeah, it's excellent. Guys, welcome to the show. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We're talking about The 100. This is Season 4, Episode 7. Gimme Shelter. I'm Ben Bateman. I'm hanging out right now with Alexis Torres on the other side of the table. How you doing, Alexis?
I'm good. I'm just jamming to the song. You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. This episode was wild. A little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. There was a lot of things I wasn't expecting, and there were things that I was like, predictable. Extremely predictable.
It had elements, all of the elements of The 100 that I've both loved and hated. You know what I mean?
No, correct.
I think it had sort of everything. This song's pretty sexy. It's pretty good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not baby making music.
Yeah. Guys, if you want to follow along with me, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter or Instagram. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We're gonna break down this episode of The 100. A lot happened in this episode. We had like kind of a new like love interest, perhaps a new era of the Octavia character arc. We have Bellamy just continuing to be a tortured soul.
I feel so bad for him.
We have the people of Arcadia having to make some pretty rough decisions and sort of slowly but surely becoming the people from Mount Weather.
Mm-hmm.
We have Amori just being like a badass bitch.
Yeah, she was great.
And no word from Raven.
Not yet. She's resting, which I'm kind of glad because she had a pretty crazy past few episodes with her baddie. So,
a recoverable stroke.
But I'm also, speaking of that new love interest, I put out a poll. I think I tagged you in it late, but I did it. And it was, I really want to know what you guys think because I know that a lot of people are very weird with that Lincoln Octavia ship. So I know obviously that ship doesn't exist anymore because of, well, I mean, it still exists, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, right, of course.
But the fact that I was like, how do we feel about this? So I had a poll that's going to go continue until tomorrow, but like, is it too soon? So I put too soon, hot as hell, or who's Octavia?
Are we, so Octillion?
Is that what it is? Is that would that be the ship? I don't even know.
Ilievia.
That was a long ass name.
I think Octillion is probably the...
Octillion would probably be the one, but I want to know what you guys think about this, because I know some people are like, don't mess with this ship, or like
Octavian.
Sure, Octavian would be cool. I would be okay with this.
Octavian. I think Octillion is better though.
Octillion. Well, yeah, because it really incorporates both their names.
Yes,
so that
yes.
makes sense. I don't know. I'm very intrigued.
Let's get going with the episode. So we're gonna start out with the Black Rain.
That was hard to watch.
Black Rain's here, and it's more dangerous than we thought. According to Chancellor Kane, the Black Rain burns on contact. The water will not be drinkable, and we're effed. We have about 2 weeks of supplies left. Mm-hmm. So. Scene starts out, Octavia's in the woods. She sees she's being followed by Ilion, who, like, clearly there was some... Well, I don't think that any of that actually was premeditated at all. I think she, like, didn't have the stomach to kill him.
Nope.
And was still hurting. I think what happens later was, like, kind of random.
I think it was just a lot of emotions on high, especially because she was obviously contemplating suicide. So there was just a lot happening, and... a lot of people are probably like, this doesn't happen in real life. I'm like, it depends on the person.
Depends if you're in the woods and there's acid rain.
And you're half naked already. I don't know. But no, I'm as a person who has dealt with depression and I've known people who've also done that, a lot of decisions aren't made rashly. So
yeah.
Things happen. I mean, I've never gone to obviously the point of like throwing myself into acid rain, but I understand that you make sometimes decisions are not completely clear when you're in the state, and she went through a lot in the past 24. It hasn't even been 24 hours yet.
Yeah.
So
wait, there's almost a pun. Instead of throwing herself at acid rain, she threw her ass.
Oh!
She threw her acid.
Get out.
Yeah.
Get
no,
out.
I can't do that.
Get out. Terrible.
It's almost a pun we could make.
Bye
so,
guys.
Anyway, this starts out the acid rain, the black rain starts falling. Everybody pulls inside. Somebody's like getting trampled, like straight, like The scene that you t-shirt. The scene that you always imagine happens that gets described in every single zombie story ever, mm-hmm. when somebody's talking about when they lost their family,
yep.
is basically what was happening to that kid.
That was really scary.
He's like getting burned and then like hits the ground and there's just like trample and he's just like, oh no.
Yeah.
You're effed, man. You're done.
I mean, I'm glad that they went back for him because I thought they were just going to leave him out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I was not anticipating having him come back and then suffer inside the Ark. That was a lot.
There's definitely like an element to this show that I think it's really important that they stick with. And they did a bit of it in this show, in this episode. And what I like is that they introduce the possibility of a character dying in a way that feels like sad or unfair and affects one of your main characters in like a... Your moral compass is like a little bit
mm-hmm.
like not even your moral compass is a little bit like turned now, but like you wanted it to work out as the hero character and it didn't work out for you.
Yeah.
You know, early on when they floated all those people, ugh. You know, like you have like these, you're sort of hoping or wondering, are they going to let Bellamy save this kid and his dad? And it's like the fact that they weren't able to save them, that like he had to just like try and fail at it,
mm-hmm.
was like a very important part of this episode. And also like a very, that's one of the things that makes the show good, is that they're willing to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it felt like, you know how like we, especially right now, we have those survival video games like The Walking Dead games and or even Mass Effect to a point and like things like that. All the Telltale games is pretty huge about that, is making decisions and basing them on whatever world that you're in. So... It definitely felt like one of those things where it's like, do you risk your life and try to save
yeah.
these two people and possibly all three of you die? Or do you let them die and hopefully some sort of miracle I can find you in the morning?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Bellamy also continues to just be like so tortured. You've got to feel for the guy because when's he going to catch a freaking break?
I don't know, especially because he's roller coastered through all the seasons so far, especially since, like, you had the first one who he's a very... I mean, he's still a strong character all the way through. It just depends on what the situation is every single time.
Yeah.
So, especially since last season, he was kind of painted as a villain for a while. So, like...
Big time.
Now it's kind of like karma's catching up with you now because you're trying to do good.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
He's, like, put in a weird position often where it's, like, he has to make this decision. Mm-hmm. And it's always, like, he tries and he's always in this lose-lose position, it feels like.
Yep.
It feels like episode after episode after episode, that's what they're giving Bellamy's character. He's kind of like the punching bag. And it's like, even though Clark has to make hard decisions and she constantly is being asked to make hard decisions as the other leader of the show, but the difference is that when she makes her hard decisions, it usually works out like for the better of survival. Like that tends to be what her moves are for.
True.
And Bellamy, it's like his decisions like want to be those, but they end up just like paling in comparison and he... kills 300 people or goes and risks his life but doesn't save the day.
I mean, he did have wins in season one and season two to a point. Season three, again, it was a little bit tough for him because he was in rocky waters at this point in time.
Right,
so I
feel
like there are times where he does win, but I do feel like he is the guy that he falls on his own sword quite a bit.
I don't even think like what he does, it's like he's trying and he's failing. I think it's just like the way the writers have decided to write that character. They don't want him... they want him to be tortured, it feels like. That's the move over
and
over.
But I also feel like that's like everybody in this show, to be honest. I don't think anybody in this show really wins at life.
Yeah, right.
Like, at all. Like,
yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that because Bellamy's character is so strong, he can take those hard hits, even though it sucks and he doesn't really deserve it. I mean, people might be different about that now, but like, but I feel like every single person has had to come to some ridiculous situation and it just... Especially if they fail, it hits them hard.
Hard, yeah.
Yeah.
So the acid rain hits. They get this kid inside, and Harper, because she left him behind, is, like, dying. She, like, really can't stand it. Everybody's stripping down, you know. This is something I thought was funny. So Harper looks, like, shredded. You noticed this,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Her arms were...
She looked yoked.
Looked good.
She looked, ripped up. She had, like, a six-pack. And
yeah. Hey, girl, hey.
Yeah. And, like, I follow Chelsea Rice on social, and she, like, sometimes posts gym selfies. She's, like, you know, working out in van with, like, such and such, like, and she's getting trained. And I'm just like, man, like, can you imagine the pressure if you were like, all right, so I got the script, and in a few weeks here, I'm going to have the scene where I have to, like, be really engaged and distraught and strip down to my underwear at the same time. Like, that's how actors do it, guys. They're just like, I'm going to have this thing, it's coming up, and there's only going to be this one shot, and this is the scene, and I've just got to make sure I nail it. And she nailed it.
Yeah, no, she was great. If I was in that same position, I'd be like, y'all are going to see this beer liquor belly that I've got going on here, and you're just going to have to, I'll just be smacking it around. Like, it's just, that's just what you get.
Right.
But I mean, I love the fact that this cast, even though maybe if they're not half naked all the time, yeah. but like they work out all the time. Like, we've seen how many times Lindsay Morgan posts all her various Instagram videos of her working out. I think, I can't remember the actor who plays Bellamy, like, his name is escaping me.
Bob Morley.
Yeah, Bob. Like, I mean, I feel like everybody, I mean, Ricky Whittle was doing that for a while, too, which we already know he's super jacked. But it was just, I wish that you guys could have watched while we were watching. Every single time that the shot went back to Kane with his shirt off, like, Ben was, like, giving me, like,
and I'm Alexis like, loves Kane. If you guys don't know this, that's, like, her guy. That's her guy.
Yeah, he's my favorite. And I was like, take off your shirt. but yeah, I think it's a great attempt. Test of when actors, even though yes, it is only one scene, I feel like it's great that they keep it up.
Yeah, well,
the
I
entire
mean,
way through.
Some for some actors, I mean, obviously Octavia has the whole episode. She's got her, she's
just all the here. Time.
But yeah, hats off to you, Chelsea Rice. You're killing it. So that happens. She's kind of losing it. You know, she's really struggling. Nice to see her elevated to a series regular this season.
And we've been talking about it because we thought season one or even season two, we're like, I don't know if Harper's gonna make it.
Yeah, right.
And now she's this strong, wonderful character that I want to see make it to the end, you know. But also the same fact that, like, she was just a tiny role too, like barely speaking, mostly in the background, just kind of that. But like now, like, I love that we got this itty bitty little arc of hers where she had to deal. I mean, I feel like she's dealt with loss a lot, but this was more personal because of the fact that he reached out for help. But I mean, it's also in a public like havoc place. It's hard, you know, like you can, I mean, they went back for him, but he just couldn't get up because acid rain is not, it's not a joke.
Yeah, savage, definitely.
Yeah.
So they get back inside and everybody's stripping down and they're getting ready to, you know, try to wash themselves and all these things. And they just, you know, they hear that Mark and Peter are out there in the wild still, and they're close by, but they're not too far. And Peter, we find out from Bellamy, is one of the Hundred. So there's like a kinship that I think Bellamy feels with all the Hundred, like kind of as his family.
Yeah, they were the first.
Yeah, they all had to survive together, and they were all, you know, thrown into the wild. They didn't know what was going to happen when they landed. So Bellamy heads out. He throws on the suit. The suit's useless. You know, he gets inside the rover, and it's like he's just trying everything again. Because I think, you know, he is internally, he's battling this. He's battling this feeling of he's, like, losing his sister, so he's trying to do anything he can to protect someone.
And I feel bad because the relationship that they have is rough, especially as siblings. I mean, if anybody, especially myself and Ben, you have siblings too, yeah? Definitely. I mean, like, we fight. It happens. And sometimes it can go on for a day, go on for months.
Yeah.
But we always end up coming back to each other at one point. It's going to happen. And, you know, especially because they're so young that you just kind of, you got to let it. I let it go. But obviously it's also different because we also don't have to deal with acid rain, random spears, and grounders trying to kill us every 5 seconds. So
the nuclear holocaust, all these things.
You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, the usual while you're camping out in the wild. So I feel bad that he's like, I want to make sure my sister's okay, but at the same time, I'm trying to give her space. It's a lot to handle. And now that he's putting all of his feelings into this one person who is probably like a brother to him, he's letting him down also. So I felt like it hurt more, especially because he had to listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's different with Octavia because it's such a mystery that you don't know, so you do have that drive. But listening to people suffer through some sort of communication device is just, it's the worst. It's just added torture within your own head.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's a rough one. That's like, that's like in the movie Everest. Did you watch that recently?
I did.
Yeah.
That movie was so good. And also, I cried so much because it was really hard to watch.
When he's up there on the mountain.
Yeah.
And Keira Knightley's talking to him.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It hurt. Brutal.
That actor came completely out of nowhere, by the way. The guy that played. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. He was in Zero Dark 30. He was in the Planet of the Apes movie. He was in that. I can't think what his name is.
If you guys know in the chat, put it in there. Also, thanks, chat, for hanging out with us.
He's like that white guy with pretty eyes and curly hair, usually.
That's helpful. It's like half the actors in Hollywood.
Well, he's got kind of curly hair. Anyway, but yes, that was very sad listening to Bellamy on the radio, and he's trying to do everything he can, and Kane keeps just saying to him, you know, you can't always be. What's the line that he said?
I can't remember exactly. Besides the line, you can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped.
Oh yeah, and he also says Bellamy, if you go into that rain, three people die, not two.
And that's the one thing that I do love about this show is it shows that even though in this aspect Bellamy is one of those run and gun type of guys, even though he does have times where he uses his brain and you can really see his plan fold through. But at the same time, it also shows that Kane is an older gentleman who understands how situations work. But at the same time, as Bellamy is also a young buck, it's the thought process is very much there, and that I don't think he obviously saw that if he dies in this, he just lost three people and a rover that's just going to be out there that they'll have to go find later.
Just donezo.
Yeah, you know, you got to make really tough decisions, especially in survival.
Yeah. So that ends the way it ends, and it's very sad, and Bellamy ends up making it back. Jason Clark?
Is that his name?
Yes, Jason Clark. That's the actor. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Bellamy makes it back, and, you know, he has a moment with Kane, and Kane's just like, look, man. And then Bellamy's like, you can't save someone who doesn't want to be saved. He kind of had his moment. Yeah. If you can't, he's just like, you know, he's cold. He's getting cold inside. Now, while at the same time he's getting cold inside, his sister is getting less cold.
Oh, my God. Wait, no.
I didn't even mean it to be like that.
Yeah, stop it.
That was not supposed to sound like that. I meant that her heart was warming. That's 100% what I meant. That was not supposed to be a sex reference. I swear to you.
Uh-huh.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Uh-huh. So, yes, she goes into the woods, and aliens tracking her, and he, like, they hole up in this cave because she's like, I'm not going to, you know, let you die. I could have killed you before.
I'm really glad the horse didn't die.
Yeah.
Just saying. I know that there have been times where we get to see animals, like, maul and everything like that, but I'm really glad that we didn't have to see a melted horse. I'm very happy about that.
Oh, like a never-ending story.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that. I don't have the nerve.
So they get inside this cave, and Octavia's like, why don't you make a fire? You're good at that. And she's all pissed.
I just love that little jab of like, meh.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. They get inside the cave and they strip down, and you and I immediately looked at each other and we're just
like
yeah, this is definitely going there.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, they're in a cave by themselves. There's not like pent up sexual tension between them before, but like
anger. Anger.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger in between emotion. Them. But I'm also really proud that, I mean, I'm not saying that he's a terrible person for saving her, but I love that he didn't just like, oh yeah, okay, fine, if you want to go then go,
yeah,
kind of thing. Like, he actually actively was like, no, what are you doing, you know? And he tried to make a connection there. He's like, tell me your sad story.
Yeah.
And of course she broke down, but I'm really glad that they had that, even though it didn't need to lead to sex. It wouldn't have mattered. I just love that they connected at least on that level.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the whole conversation by the fire and what if people not.
No, we're just catching up to what you just said. So I'm like, meh.
So yeah, there's the whole conversation, and she doesn't want to hear what he has to say, and she's like, no, I'm not telling my story, and she's all pissed, and then she. And people are just, like, loving. People are not liking that joke.
No, they just think it's funny.
And she – it wasn't supposed to be a joke. She yes, she decides to go run into the acid rain, and she's going to take her life. She's going to do it.
I am proud of the fact that the writers decided, or maybe if it was the actress's choice, that when they did initially kiss
– yeah.
I think someone said that in the chat. Yeah, Melissa said that in the chat, where, like, she didn't – she was kind of like, no.
No, she wasn't. He was like that.
Oh, was it?
She
I thought
kissed
it was her.
Him because she's on the ground, and she kisses him, and he pulls
back. Oh, Ilian. Okay, sorry. I did read that wrong, Melissa. I apologize. But yeah, I liked that he was like, whoa, hey, no, nope, nope.
Hey, what's going on here? He just tried to kill me. He had a gun to my head, literally. Yeah, like, he had a gun to my head a few hours ago.
And a knife.
Yeah.
Like, literally just a few moments ago, and then all of a sudden,
it's just some really savage role-playing.
Go for it.
Yeah. So that,
whatever you're into.
That happens, and she, like, I was glad she hit him, too. You know, right? She punched him in the face. Because
no, that was insane.
Well, you knew she was going, because if, like, for instance, if he's like trying to stop her physically and she doesn't hit him, you're like, okay, this is nonsense. Because
no.
She's been like a warrior for like a while now. She's just like always fights everyone. She kills people. You know.
Yeah.
And so the fact that she hit him was like correct.
Yeah, but as soon
don't
as
put it, your hands on me.
No, yeah. Correct. And she was gonna fight for it until obviously you get to that point of just like. One, I'm tired because I'm assuming they haven't slept at this point in time. They haven't slept at this point in time. And again, she's going through a lot, and he's just trying to help her. And then, yes, there was just that point of emotional vulnerability, and then it just kind of led into our next part.
The next part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they go for the kiss, and she's like... Just, you know, what she said, just make me feel... No, that's from Monster's Ball. What'd she say? She said,
I don't remember.
Just make me feel something else. And she pulled the Monster's Ball. She pulled the Halle Berry Monster's Ball. She said, like, I'm full of pain and anger, so...
It happens, man.
You know, and that's what happens. And And, you know, because he says, like, you know, first she tries to sell him the line early where she's like, I feel nothing. You mm-hmm. feel the way you're supposed to feel after you take a life. And he knows that's he's like been around. He's been a warrior. He's been like in this community. He like knows.
Mm-hmm. He's lived this lifestyle. I get it.
He's like, you can't fool me. Yeah. I know warriors who kill each other. I know what that's like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're full of it. And kind of calls her out. And
maybe the fact that
like he has balls, like, because he explains, he's like, yeah, when she was in my head, I slit my dad's throat. I slit my brother's throat. I cut my mom's fingers off. I tied her up. You know, he's talking about doing these horrible things to his family because he was, you know, and that's – he saw technology as the issue, and that's why he blew up Arcadia. And, like, yeah, I mean, no justification there because he's wrong.
No. Yeah.
But, like, you understand where he's coming from.
No. Like, again, it was justifiable of what happened, and I understood his revenge just like when we get into Amari's revenge.
Yeah.
Like – it was justifiable in that point. It doesn't excuse him for obviously blowing up something that was not his.
Yeah.
But I also understand from his side of, like, this is the thing that, especially because they didn't have technology, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
all these terrible things are happening and technology is involved. So
yeah,
put two and two together. It makes sense.
Understandable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes, that ends, and the rain passes, and they get up in the morning, and Octavia drops these knives. She drops her knives in the like water pool
mm-hmm.
sort of thing, and I guess we're supposed to assume that she now has like made this internal decision to be less of a killer, to be less violent. That's like what they were suggesting here.
That's what I got from that, but I also saw it as I'm trying to move on from being this angry person, not just a killer in general, but this is my, it's like when you're in a video game and you get to that next level of like, I need new gear, like that kind of thing. So it's kind of like shedding off her old skin and becoming and revelating in her new skin.
Maybe she's gonna be like, she's gonna go and be like old man Logan in the comic, or like Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, and like go hide, and then when she has drawn out later, she'll be like the ultimate killer.
I feel like she's not going to stop killing in that aspect of surviving, probably.
Yeah, right.
But I feel like just blatantly just killing people just to kill people is definitely, I think we're done with that story. And I'm very intrigued to see what's going to happen with her and Ilian as they travel to find his home. And is she going to stay there? Is she going to come back?
Right.
Like, you know.
Because it's kind of like, are you guys a thing now? Like, is that, you know, it's TV. So you sleep together with someone once on TV. It kind of, I think, often can just turn into a thing.
Yeah, even I agree with May Money, and I love your username, May Money in the building. Ilian doesn't understand, and no one has explained anything to him. He was scared. Yeah, totally makes sense. How do you explain something taking over your mind and having you kill your family? That's something on a level that not even a psychiatrist can probably help you with.
It's like pretty cray.
It's rough. So I totally get it. Francis in the chat says she switched the knives for that dope cape. Correct.
Yeah, it was a sweet cape. Yeah,
it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm very intrigued to see how this journey to their next quest.
Yeah, they become their own like little mm-hmm. like yeah. So I thought that was pretty sweet, and also like, a little bit, like, they get up, and he uses the line where he's like, I'm going to go home to my, just, you know, my stupid sheep.
Oh,
and
God.
He's like, walking away, and she's kind of like, did you just dump me?
Like, did she have that face? I didn't even see that in my head.
I kind of got this feeling from her where she's like, man, I can just be standoffish right now, but, like, if I do, then, like, he kind of just walked out on me after the one-night stand.
Oh, my God.
Like, I got a little bit of that. You know, I think there's some humanity in him that she saw that I think she's attracted to, I guess. And that's,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we won't know until we get further into this. And I feel like I'm not quite sure if we're going to see them next episode, since it looks like we're going to be basing it more at the, not the bunker, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The lab. So I'm very, like I said, whenever we do get back to that story, I want to see where their friendship / relationship goes.
Yes.
I mean, again, it's not a full relationship yet. It's just fun.
It's like an FBF thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That I mean Facebook friends. we switch to the last plot line of this episode, and we have what's going on in Allie's lab. And so we don't see Raven, but Abby is doing some work with bone marrow.
Dude, she needs like 8 naps. Like, just leave Raven alone. Let her sleep.
So we got some new information. The first information we got, that is that Raven rests, in theory, that this seizure she had is going to heal. And that we didn't know that. We didn't know if she was, like, terminal. It also means that if Abby rests, she can possibly heal.
Which we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we thought these were maybe, like, brain tumors, and it doesn't appear that they are. Abby seems to think that Raven is going to be okay. So they're not careening her towards death, it doesn't seem like.
Which is good. So I want to keep it that way.
So, yeah, Clark shows up, and Amori overhears them talking about this whole bone marrow plan. And the first thing that comes to mind, obviously, is like, well, I mean, there's a lot of people and not a whole lot of Luna. So what are you going to do? You can't harvest this one person's bone marrow too much. And that's exactly what they did in Mount Weather.
I was like, I feel like we're just doing Mount Weather, but this is on a different extreme now because we only have one person, not like a whole bunch of grounders that we could just pick up and use. And, again, I also don't feel comfortable doing that, so I don't know how this is going to work out.
Yeah, I'm curious how they're planning on navigating that because it's like definitely pretty close, and I thought it was interesting no one mentioned that. Like, they just sort of suggested that if you do this and it works, it can save everyone. Like, how's it going to save everyone? How are you going to make enough, you know, whatever, serum, marrow? Like, are they able to, like, clone bone marrow? Is that what they're sort of suggesting?
I don't know. I mean, they could make it into a serum form, maybe. I'm not quite sure. Yeah. I mean, it depends. I mean, it looks like because the fact that they made it into this serum, they can inject it, and hopefully your body will just be able to retain it. You know, I just think it's weird just putting someone else's blood in your body. Just health-wise, it just seems weird. But I feel like because we're after the acid rain the black rain that we just had, I feel like nobody's really thinking of, like, the consequences. We're just like, we need to find a solution now.
Yeah.
We're running out of time.
Agreed.
So I don't know. I also want to, like, we're going to get more into the story, but I'm like, upset and proud at, oh my God, why am I forgetting her name? Murphy's girlfriend. Oh my God.
Amori.
Amori. Like, her entire tactic was flawless, but at the same time, I was like, I hate you, because, like, we could have avoided this.
Yeah, totally. You know what I mean? So she overhears this conversation about the bone marrow, and she's, like, freaking out. She's like, oh, man, I'm the one who's going to go in that tank, which I think is a little crazy, considering... All right, like,
Amori, I feel like Clark or Murphy would have been the first people to be like, just test it on me.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, what's the intel that Amori has to suggest that these people, the Arcadian people, are ones to, like, forcefully sacrifice a grounder? Like, they're not the ones that harvested bone
marrow. But I also don't think that she was also thinking in that aspect of just the fact that literally she is the only person in this entire group that doesn't really, not very chummy with everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, in that aspect. So she's thinking, you know, rule of elimination, I'm the last one that, you know.
I get that. It just seemed a little crazy to go, like, that heavy. She, like, definitely went pretty wild with that. So they go to this, like, sweet, you know, Hollywood producer's house that's in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
And, like that? Oh, an industry reference?
No. It was really good. It took me a minute. It took me like a hot minute. I was like, what are you talking about?
It was like pretty clearly just like a sweet LA house, except not really. I'm sure it's like a
set.
It
was insane.
Or like something in Vancouver,
I want to retract my statement earlier from putting other people's blood into your body because that's what transfusions are.
Yeah.
And it took me a hot minute. I'm sorry. It's late. God, it made me feel really stupid right there. I'm sorry. But like Murphy cooking is like... Yeah. Anybody, it doesn't matter, woman, man, child, I don't care. The fact that you know how to cook and you can cook well is amazing.
So here's the question I have. Maybe somebody in the chat can clarify this for me. Whose house was this, like, 100 years later?
I thought it was, our scientist, Becky, well, whatever her name is.
Sure, but, like, it's a flawless lit pool with, like, groomed hedges and, like, beautiful lights, and it's fully functional. The house is flawless. There's, like, fresh food inside the house.
Dude, they had drones that can kill you.
Yeah, where?
I feel like if anyone tried to take over that house, that the drones would have killed you before you got there.
Well, they turned the drones off. They say that in the thing.
Well, yeah, but I meant, like, before. That's why the house is in perfect condition.
What I'm trying to figure out, though, is, like, how's it not dirty? How's the pool not filled with, like, leaves? Like,
maybe, well, I mean, it is a smart house, so maybe it cleans itself.
Cleans itself? Yeah, all right, that's fair.
I'll give it that. That's just, I'm giving it the 100 science.
Like, I was literally just like, this feels like this was the place they were going to use for the rap party at the end of season 4.
Oh,
and they were
just nice.
Like, and they were just like, yeah, let's just shoot there first. They're like, last day of shooting, it's going to be here, and then the rap party's in the house once we're done, guys.
Oh, May Money actually agrees with you. Why would they use Amori? She was tripping and being super paranoid. We agree.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Z Blue Pirate, also what a great name. I wonder what Murphy made. I couldn't tell what it was, but it looked good.
It was risotto.
Was it?
I don't know.
I love that you just like, it's just immediately like, it was risotto.
It was mushroom risotto.
Yeah.
It's like step one. Step one of being a good bachelor, mushroom risotto.
Sarah Tay Tay says they have robot maids.
Yeah.
So was it the Jetsons?
Something, yeah.
Like, really cool Roombas, but just way more high-tech.
Yeah, super sweet house. So so they're, like, they're messing around, and Murphy's cooking, and, you know, this whole thing's happening. Clark goes up to shower. She cleans up.
Dude, that shower looked nice.
So someone breaks in, and it's this dude, Baelish. Baelish? Was it Lord Peter Baelish or Baelish?
Peter Baelish. No, I think it's Baelish, I think is what it was.
That's what I thought so, too, more like Jared Baelish, the basketball player. So
oh, my God.
So he gets inside, and there's, like, a fight going on. He's trying to take down Amori, and it turns out he's just trying to steal food, and he was being legitimate, but she's like, this is my angle.
Dude, again, so freaking smart. I mean, I know that it's terrible to say that because this is an innocent bystander. I mean, sure, he was going to try to kill her to get food. But at the same time, just the fact that she made up... One, I'm not a fan of people making up stories of physical abuse to get something. Not a fan of that, especially as a person who's been in a relationship like that. No. But in a survival mode, I get it. Yeah. Like, it makes sense. She's like, no. But again, I agree with everyone in the chat, and I agree with you. It doesn't make sense for you to be making up crap.
Yeah.
They weren't going to use you in the first place.
Right.
Like, calm the F down. You just, like,
put that dude in the tank. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty
I mean,
pretty
whatever. Rough. We got a test subject, and he was an intruder. He would have killed us all.
Yeah.
Sure. There's Why the hell not?
The angle with Clark, like, trying to stop her from killing this dude was, like... And obviously, she knew Clark was going to try to make her stop. Like, that's obviously, you know, she was pretty aware that's what was going on. But, like, there's this part of me sometimes is like, all right, you know what, Clark? This is the wild. People are going to die. People are going to murder each other. Yep. People are going to – it's going to be mob justice sometimes. You can't just, like – you can't just, like, step in and tell people to not do what they want to do all the time. Because, like, you don't control the world. Amori doesn't work for you. She's not – like, you have no jurisdiction here. So, if Amori – really wanted to kill this guy, and Clark does kind of back off towards the end.
She didn't. I was very proud of her. She
almost was going to let it happen. But I still am just like, shut up sometimes, Clark. The guy came in. He tried to kill Amori with a knife. Like, we don't always have to save everyone. The fact that Ilian is still alive is outrageous. It's like, how the hell did they let that kid out of there?
Just let that go. To get to the sex scene, duh. Yeah,
he burned the freaking place down. And, like, Octavia's just like, all right, you know, I'll let you go now.
Only if you... Never mind, I'm not going to go there.
Right, don't. He started multiple fires. You know?
And put them out, too. Yeah. But I understand from you that, again, I think that's also where that moral from Kane came out, too, where it's like, if these people don't want to be helped, don't help them. Like, this is... And also, a lot of these... I mean, I don't know how old Amori is, but, like, the fact that she's a grown-ass woman, let her do you. But I understand that it's like enough blood has been spilled. There's so many aspects that you can pull from. Yep. So I get that. But there are times I'm like, just let it go. Just like when nobody wanted to kill Pike. I was like, just do it.
Yeah.
Do it. He's a terrible person. Just do it.
Completely.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's pretty much how that wraps up. The fight ends. They get back to the lab, and it looks like they're putting this dude in the tube. And you know what? The scene at the end with the song that we started the show with, AEIOU, was pretty great. It was really, really good.
Yeah, with the slow-mo and, like, getting him ready for that, it was really, really... It was just very moving because, one, it was like, this is all something that they all don't agree that they should be doing, but they don't have a choice. So...
Yeah, big time. And, you know, something else that I thought, too, was, like, I like the things about this episode that I liked. Okay, so the sex scene with Octavia was, I don't want to call it quite predictable. It became predictable once they went into the cave.
Yeah, and they were alone and they took off their clothes. I was like, we know where this is going.
Sure, but when the episode started, I wouldn't have been like, that's how this is going to go.
I didn't think they were ever going to be on that level at all.
No.
Period.
And stuff that happened in this episode that I liked, it's like I told you, I really enjoyed the decision to make Bellamy try to save this kid, this dad and his kid, and not able to save them. That's important. The idea that, like, Abby is, like, not happy with basically having to kill someone to test this theory and do it in a way that reflects these horrible people that they killed all of to stop what they were doing. And they might have to do the same thing of harvesting, you know, harvesting a Nightblood's bone marrow. Like, they are taking the show in this, like, pretty dark place at times, which is what they were doing originally.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, tons of controversy and whatnot has, like, derailed some of the praise for this show.
Correct.
But I do think that there still are moments where I'm like, this is the reasons I like this show.
No, and I'm really proud of, like, everybody who's in the chat and people that we talk to at Klexicon and or on the internet in general who are sticking with the show, because I do feel like every single time when I see, like, articles or people talking about how terrible it is, it reminds me. I'm like, yeah, okay, there were terrible points, but then we watch an episode and I'm like, there it is. This is why. Is because the fact, one, the actors are phenomenal and the story is there, and it's wonderful, and I'm just, I'm really glad that they haven't really strayed too far in that aspect. It's wonderful. And again, they know how to pull out those dark stories, especially those decisions, like what you were talking about. They're realistic. Like, what would you do in this situation?
Definitely.
And these survival skills, again, I might not agree with some of them, but you don't have a choice because it's either you or them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if we talked about it on here, but I think we did. The 100 season 5, they announced it. So
yes, I don't think we got around to it because we were talking about Klexicon last episode. But yes, that's our like news and gossip AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
AfterBuzz TV.
Sweet that we're getting a season 5.
Yeah, season 5 is coming. So that's super sweet.
Yeah.
So should we get into predictions?
Sure. I said, let's do it.
Your AfterBuzz TV
prediction. Renji in the chat has a really great line where he said, survival isn't always about what's right, which is correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There were some good quotes. The other quote that I really liked at the end of the episode is when Kane says to Harper, who you want to be doesn't always win.
It's correct, especially in war and surviving and things like that.
It's what the whole episode was about, really.
Yeah,
was exactly that quote. You know, that was the button, and it was good. It made in that moment with the song and everything, it felt correct. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was great. I have a lot of thoughts. Do you have any specific predictions?
No. Like I said, I'm very. I don't think. I mean, at this point, I don't really know if this doesn't work. The serum is bone marrow serum or whatever the hell you want to call it. If this doesn't work, I actually don't know what we can do at this point in time, besides obviously going to space, which I feel like the only reason it wouldn't work is so we can get a scene where people are going into space.
Yes.
Yeah. That is literally just for plot-driven, like, circumstance. That is the only thing I can think of. I think it's going to be hard for me to watch, even though he's a complete stranger and tried to kill Amori, this guy suffer having radiation poisoned, like, forced.
Also, something that I'm wondering is, like, okay, so let's just say we make all the people Nightbloods who can survive the radiation and reject the radiation. It doesn't make the water drinkable, does it?
No, I don't think so.
The water is not drinkable.
No. No, you have a point, because at this point, what are you going to do now? Because what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink?
Yeah.
Like, how do you survive?
If the world is still melting down, I mean, they're still going to be. Maybe they can drink irradiated water because their body rejects the radiation.
I don't think that's how that works.
But that
though.
Seems unlikely to me.
Yeah. I feel like you can probably still walk around and live. But I think if you ingest radiation, radiation poisoned water, I feel like that's not going to be good for anybody.
Yeah, a couple things. I think, A, Octavia's going to have to fight to protect Ilian. I think that's going to be something that happens. There'll be a scene where she's forced to, like, get pretty savage to protect him. But I think she's going to try to be more of a peaceful warrior now. She's going to be less of a killer. That feels like that's probably the direction they're taking that.
Correct.
And I would say I still have my money on Jasper biting the dust by the end of the season.
We actually didn't see him.
Yeah.
In this one, or Monty. In this one, I'm assuming they were probably already inside and we didn't need to cut to them at all. I'm trying to see how Bellamy and Kane are going to be doing now because there's nobody really leading.
Oh, we didn't even mention that.
Oh, the ending?
The Bellamy-Kane conversation.
Dude, that line, like, I tweeted about it. I don't know if anybody saw it, but that line where he, what did I do with it?
It's right here. He says, "Your mother, Bellamy, you did your best. Your mother would be proud of the man you've become."
Yeah.
I know I am. Bellamy's like, "You floated my mother."
Yeah, just like straight up. I was like, oh my God, my heart.
Yes.
But it made sense because the fact that he, like, I love that we don't need a whole thing about it. Just a line is enough to be like, oh yeah, oh my God, they were all, like, we were all on opposite sides at one point. Now we have to work together to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're kind of a little bit like, you know what, Kane? Don't lecture me too much, man, because, like, you ain't that close to me. You
it's
killed
true.
My mom.
Well, because of the fact that when he said that he was proud of him, too, I was like, oh, that's nice. But I was like, wait a minute, isn't there? And then he said the line, like, you floated my mother. I was like, ah, there it is.
Also, the line that when Kane says, Bellamy, you did your best, that should be
a smack in the face.
What also should, like, be on his headstone? Because, like, that's basically, it's the gist of Bellamy's character in this show.
You did okay.
Yeah, it's like it's the gist of Bellamy's character on this show is, like, he's constantly doing his best, and it's constantly not working out, and he's constantly let down by it.
Best.
So, yeah. Anyway.
I want Dane Cook to be back there going, "I did my best." If anybody knows that, that's good. It's great. But no, I feel like Bellamy is always trying, like you said, and he gets close,
so close,
so close. And just, I feel like I'm intrigued to see if I feel like I said that a lot tonight, but like I want to see the Kane Bellamy relationship hopefully grow a little bit more as it gets closer to that end of that death clock, you know what I mean?
Because
I feel they have to rely on each other more than ever now. Definitely. Even if they do see their differences, especially after that conversation. Because it seemed like he was at peace when he came back.
I didn't feel like that comment was like, I hate you. I thought it was like, no. Them's the stakes, bud.
Yeah, you know? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, we've made our bed, so
yeah,
we got to lay in it, and whether we want to or not.
100%.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much wraps it up, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening on audio. This has been Ben Bateman and Alexis Torres. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter or Instagram.
And me at atorres890. Both Ben and I are on AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk, so definitely catch our shows there. Action Movie Anatomy, Jedi Alliance, check them out because we always have something to talk about. It's pretty freaking sweet.
Always, guys. Thank you so much. We will talk to you guys again next week. Thanks for watching.
Bye, guys. Have a good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.